morning. Thought I'd help you wake up.
It's 6 a.m. and you're listening to The John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And we'll look forward to having you spend your entire Wednesday morning with us. If you're up early, we appreciate you being here on The John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Coming to you live from One Bala Plaza, where this morning I navigated not one, not two, but three pieces of wildlife in the road. Two of them were deer. What was the third that I had to actually stop my car to not hit?
Honey badger.
Kangaroo.
Honey badger.
Possum.
A fox.
Close to the possum family.
Skunk.
Orangutan.
Skunk. It was, Connor Thomas. Airport Road, right at the Airport Road intersection, had a skunk. And it was big. What do skunks eat? Like rabbits eat like, you know, foliage, I guess, or greenery. What do skunks eat?
I think they're foragers, so they might go through the garbage like raccoons do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so, too.
This thing was big. This thing was a well-fed skunk.
I hit a bird on the way here.
Okay, what's it with the wildlife this morning?
No idea. I almost hit another one driving in the parking lot, but it was one of those. It's in the road. It gets up to fly away, and I just saw it hit my car, and then all of a sudden, I saw it in the rear mirror, like it dropped.
Oh, no.
You got to clean your car now?
Wait a minute. So
evidence.
That's two of us this morning that had to navigate wildlife. Now, I did not hit any of it.
Yeah, I want all the other birds to recognize.
That it's just supposed to...
like, get out the way.
What did Costanza say? We have a deal? We have an agreement with them? With the squirrels? You have the agreement, so...
Coach.
I
know stuff.
Coach, what is it?
Yeah, so skunks, they prefer meat, but they also eat plants and vegetation. Now, some of the other things on their diet, insects, small animals, birds, eggs... berries, grubs, which are really good, and grasshoppers.
What are grubs?
Those are the little mini bug worm thingies.
Yeah, grubs.
Look like little tiny snails.
Yeah. Okay. That's a word. I learned a word today. I did not know about the grub. I do know this, that the average total home water use for each person in the United States is about 50 gallons a day. And a person can live about a month without food, but only a week without water. I don't know how you can live a month without food.
No, I'm very much into those shows, Life Below Zero and stuff like that. People out in Alaska in the bush that are trying to live off of the land. I don't know how you do it. Waking up every morning knowing you have to go get your food to last you for a while. That's a scary thought in my book.
One of Liv's classmates, her mom did The Amazing Race. Is The Amazing Race was and she did it with a daughter that she gave up for adoption when she was a teenager, and they had never.
Oh, well, that's why they're on the show.
And she hadn't known her.
Oh, that's cool.
She gave up the daughter for adoption. The adopted daughter found her, that was adopted by another family, but found her birth mother, and they did The Amazing Race together. And you know, they don't like, you're responsible for, like, you got to feed yourself on that too.
They don't give you expense.
Like, no, but you don't get to have like cash in your pocket and stuff like that. There's like rules and all that kind of stuff. I could never do a Survivor. I'd last a week eating crap out of the woods.
My mom wants to do Amazing Race.
With you?
We went to the mall when they were having open tryouts because she wanted to try out. And she promised Cheesecake Factory. So, you know, I'll go. I'll go stand
recently?
In front of
how
a...
How old were you? Like, what were you?
I was probably...
High school?
17 or 18. No, I was a little older. I was probably 19 or 20. You know, at that point, it's like, all right, well, Cheesecake Factory's on the menu.
Right, exactly.
Let's party, but I knew we had no shot.
Why would we have no shot?
Because we didn't have a story like that. We didn't have a story like... Because that's what they look for. Like, the one year, the Phillies old third base coach, Steve something, who was actually the third base coach in 08... He was on the show. Like, you need that angle.
So you need something.
You know, we were just two short people that yelled at each other a lot.
I'll tell you what, that's a hook for me, man.
See, I would
love to watch
you. But you guys know, like, you've seen me interact with her. Like, you know me. It's different when they give you 15 seconds to record and say why you want to be on the show. And truthfully, I didn't want to be on the show. I just wanted some more cheesecake.
Weird thing is, though, is that And Connor, I believe this. I think Pat would be that T-Dog would end up being America's sweetheart.
Oh, God.
And Pat would end up being America's villain.
No.
Yeah. The way you talk to your mother.
Okay,
there'd be, yeah, the way you talk to your mother, that America would hate you.
Well, America can live with her. All right? That's what I have to say to America.
I could see Coach signing Cam up for that. Coach and Cam doing like the Amazing Race.
Cam and I might be able to do that together.
Isn't there something?
Why not?
Isn't there something on the soccer? Your voice is cracking this morning.
Yeah, it's really bad allergies.
I mean, it is.
Jamie is the one that usually has them. Prepared. Pat and I. Oh yeah, never mind.
Jamie's on suspension.
Pat and I are usually the ones that have them, and today is a bad day.
Wow.
I may need to go into Pat's bag pharmacy.
No.
Why? Why won't you share with Coach?
How much money you got in your pocket?
Connor not go into Pat's bag pharmacy. Connor did not have an Advil for his tooth that's hurting him and his gum that are hurting him. And I said, I would have brought some for you.
Oh, dude, I got pain relief.
Why? An alternative medicine type.
No, he'd rather walk around and complain about it than actually just take it.
1,000%.
You'd rather complain about it than take something that dulls the pain for you.
I told him yesterday to call up my dentist, and it was, no, I have an appointment tomorrow at 3 p.m. As if the dentist that he had an appointment for is going to call around to make sure he wasn't calling other people and cheating on them with.
Okay.
Like, come on. I was like, dude, you might be able to get seen today. No, it's fine. No, it's not. You've been bitching about it for a day.
I wonder how easy this, I don't want to call it an extraction, but I guess it kind of is. Not that they're extracting your tooth, but whatever is caught up in your gum. I wonder how easy it is.
Well, they're going to have to cut it and stitch it.
You think?
Is what I
what?
Figure. Yeah.
Really? That's what I'm going into today? I read about it.
Yesterday afternoon in the back office, as I'm now calling the back deck, on the back office, I had to look at it. And by the way, people have gotten stuff caught up in there. People have gotten tortilla chips, things like that. They most likely have to cut your gum and then do a little butterfly stitch,
That. Just leave it in.
No. What are you, nuts? No.
What?
So you would rather have this pain that you're in as opposed to one day of a stitch maybe hurting
it'll
a little
grow
bit.
Over it eventually, right?
Connor.
No, just get it done.
Stitch you. It takes 2 seconds. They literally know how to do a butterfly stitch, a couple of things, and then it dissolves.
I'll bet you a dentist could fly by one Balaplaza and take care of that in a heartbeat
today.
If you're a dentist
right now that could come by and get the kernel out of the mouth of Connor Thomas.
We would all greatly appreciate it. You can do it in the parking lot. We won't even make you come into our building.
I got to see some type of credentials or something.
He's been offered an Advil. I swear to you, you're right. He would rather complain about it now than just get it fixed.
Then have a tooth extraction in the parking lot.
You're not having a tooth extraction.
I don't know what it is. I'm not letting somebody who just shows up to the parking lot rip my mouth open.
Now all of a sudden,
me the crazy person?
Because now all of a sudden you have standards? Like, who the hell are you?
Yes, I have standards for dental professionals.
Dude, I am going to pray that the world of serious disease never hits you, because you will literally be in a corner sucking your thumb if this is bothering you this much.
It's bothering me, but there's an area in between letting Dirty Mike and the boys rip my gums off.
Dirty Mike and the boys?
Yeah, they hang out in Priuses. Yeah.
I thought that was the old ESPN. Wasn't that ESPN's old morning show?
No.
That is different. Yeah.
First of all, by the river.
Dylan is here this morning with us.
The D train is here.
Yeah, Dylan can do it.
Wait a minute. Why doesn't Dylan get a chance to take it out?
Nope.
All you do is pay him in York Peppermint Patties and he's happy.
Who would you trust the most out of all of us to go into your mouth and try to get this thing out?
If one person had to do it.
Probably John, just because he seems like he's the most surgical, like step by step.
Day by day.
That's a good call. His hands are going to be shaky. I don't know what Coach is doing. Bob, I don't know your background either. Yeah, no, probably John, because I just trust
him. I probably have a pen in my hand. Wait, exactly. I can get it.
I got the pen for you here. All right, Phillies last night. Why do we not get to the Phillies fast enough? Because the Phillies game was terrible last night. Gibby wasn't terrible, but he wasn't good. And Familia, I've had enough. I've reached enough. I absolutely have. And Rob Thompson, if you are the guy, if you are the smart guy, if you are the guy who supposedly has turned this thing around, then you know you've seen enough. We've seen enough. No more Familia. Familia's out. When you're here, you're Familia. No, when you're gone, you're out. Show them the door. Done. Finished. I can't watch it anymore. It's disheartening. The minute he comes into a game, I'm done.
That game just didn't have a feel last night. Now, early on, you're thinking, okay, pitcher's duel. It's nothing. Phillies have four hits. Texas has two. Perez was the... I like watching him pitch.
Yeah, he's very nice.
Yeah. So you're wondering, can they just last or can they steal a run here? And Perez was a little wild, throwing some fastballs in the dirt and all. But they just couldn't manufacture. And that's the one thing that kind of bothers me about this team. Guy on second, nobody out. You don't have anybody that hits a ground ball to the right side to move him to third. You know, just manufacturing runs. They're just not very good at doing that.
No, they're not.
And I don't know about you guys, but I just had a feel that it wasn't going well last night. And then you get the back-to-backs on an absolute bullet on the first one by Lowe. And once it got to be 2-0, that just seemed...
It felt like it was done.
It seemed like a hockey game of, like, yeah, it's only 2-0, but it feels like 4-5, 6-0.
It wasn't good last night.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't fun to watch. There's the breaking
news. Good summary on your part. Yeah, not fun to watch.
But this team, you know, I look at this squad that anytime Bryce Harper is out, I go, okay, like, can they steal a game? Because that's the way I look at it. If he's out of the lineup, they're going to need to steal a game. They're a different team. Their offense certainly is way different. But yeah, that game was, you know, offense and Familia. You know, Gibson gave you a chance to win. He gave you. He kept it
quality start.
Yeah, he kept it at bay. What, he went 6 2/3 with 3 in a row. I mean, like, it's kind of what you want from a starting pitcher. That's what you ask for. And when the bats go silent,
yeah,
and Familia comes
be
in. I mean, Familia is the biggest buzzkill on this team at this point because you don't really have any better option, so you throw him in there hoping that he can get it right, but it's gross. I'm with you. I'm done.
Castellanos, too, the last 3 weeks, leaving runners on base.
Now, he had a shot up the middle that looked like it was
a base hit. Like it was through.
And looked like you were going to get some runs, and it goes off the pitcher's glove, and the shortstop grabs it and goes to first. But
he had another 4 or 5 left on base last night. Just he's in a bit of a funk, but Phillies lose day game baseball today, and Connor has guaranteed a win,
absolute lock win today,
lock win,
no doubt in my
mind.
So
grab your sports betting app of choice and grab it now before the line shifts.
I feel good about that, Connor.
4:05 game this afternoon, the Rangers and the Phillies ending up the 2-game set in Texas. Join the Fanatic, by the way, and our show. As we cheer on the birds in Arizona, reserve your spot now with a small deposit. Go to phillysportstrips.com. Philly Sports Trips, where you can travel with the pros. It is going to be absolutely awesome. We're going to have a great time. There is one thing that sort of bothered me a bit. Now, I have an LLC. My LLC, unless I told somebody, no one would know any business that I conduct on my LLC. Unless you knew what my LLC was and how I conduct it. I was a little surprised, and then I see NFL Network talk about it. I see NFL Live talk about it. That Jalen Hurts is out there trademarking Hurts So Good. For clothing and merchandising and everything like that. I am a huge fan of capitalism. I am an absolute ambassador for getting every freaking dollar that you can from any opportunity you can to use your talents, your skills, whatever it is. But I'll tell you, this has a chance to really backfire. You've accomplished nothing. And your trademark and Hurts So Good. I'm just here to tell. I don't know if he didn't maybe at Oklahoma and Alabama, they didn't teach this. He doesn't have to have it be public. He could have bought this through an LLC. He could have acquired. No one would have known who trademarked Hurts So Good. But Jalen Hurts did it himself. He like went on to like a $99 legal site and trademarked Hurts So Good. Are you signing up today, Pat? You seem like a guy who is cutting edge in trends. Are you going out and buying yourself some Hurts So Good merchandise?
Absolutely not.
T-shirts, hats.
Hard pass.
I'll tell you, this has a chance. This has a chance to have a really bad look to it.
It does, but am I surprised? No, he's an uber confident guy.
He is.
You know, so if you're him, you're not looking at the, oh man, this could explode you know, horribly and go horribly wrong for me, you're looking at it like, no, I don't want to be sitting here up in my game after the offseason I had leading this team, and then I got to see Hurts So Good merchandise, which we all know would pop up.
Oh, it's going to pop up.
The Crossing Broads of the world would definitely be selling Hurts So Good t-shirts. So yeah, he wants to nip that in the bud. I don't necessarily blame him. I probably would have done it back in college, but you know, good on you. Like I think one of the first guys to do it was Brian Bosworth back in the day. Like he really.
What did he do? The Boz?
The Boz, yeah. He would sell Boz t-shirts, but then he was smart. He would sell anti-Boz t-shirts too because he was so hated. So he was getting, so he was double dipping. Yeah, it was genius.
Have you considered this?
I have, yeah.
You have considered some of the anti-Egan merchandise?
Yeah, I have anti-Egan magnets, but they haven't sold.
Because I think the positives would sell much more. I think the Egan merchandise would sell. Because you've had trouble getting rid of those 4133s.
No,
you've got rid of them all?
Like wildfire.
It kept me afloat for a good 2 years.
I've gone through two or three of them.
But I've seen you, though, say that you still have them, like you're trying to get rid of
them. That's the business model of Pat Egan. You always got to say there's more supply.
That they're running out?
You always have to have product.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bob, you have any issue with Hurts So Good?
If his career takes off, all of that stuff, he did something early on that, okay, wow, that was so, 5 years from now, he becomes one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's this dynamic player or something like that. Exactly. If it doesn't work, okay, then it goes to your capitalism loving and all that stuff, saying, all right, he gave it a shot.
And if we were
in the same position, maybe we would do the same thing.
I'm a little surprised, though, that he doesn't have it set up through, and I don't know what. I have a friend of mine has an LLC that is the name of a bar that was across the street from a house they had, a frat house they had in college. Like no one needs to know what your track your business. Connor, in your old business, you probably saw people with LLCs and stuff like that. They name them after dogs. They name them after, you know, stuff that never traces to them. I just think this is, when everybody's talking about it, like, this guy's thinking he's going to be the next big thing.
Yeah, but I don't think if you see that Hurts So Good got trademarked, you're wondering, I wonder who did that. Like, why
everybody's going to know now.
Yeah, but everyone was going to know anyway. Like, oh, who's selling the Jalen Hurts So Good t-shirts? Do you think that's maybe, like people have done this before, and what's the worst case scenario? Like, what is the worst case
that he's,
to come out of
this? That he is not the quarterback of the future for this franchise.
So what do you lose?
And he crashes and burns.
Right, then someone would have found something to make fun of him for anyway.
Like, then it looks dumb, though.
I like it. I think he's taking a little chance on himself. Good for him.
Yeah, he's not taking a chance. No. I mean, it's not. He's
making an investment.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think
investments are chances.
I don't know if I'm going to be in December even remembering the fact that he owns Hurts So Good.
I didn't even know until John wrote it.
Well, aren't we going to see t-shirts? But aren't we going to see the t-shirts and hats all over the place?
I mean,
really?
Not if he's
by who? Just by him?
Yes, that's by him.
But not if he's playing poorly.
I mean, look at how many guys you have out there now that are wearing, you know, BC10s or JK, you know, 69 or whatever. Like, there's just. You see these guys with these, you know, labels and stuff all the time. It doesn't.
Okay, Joel Embiid. Does he have one? I don't believe he does.
I don't know
if he has something.
He does,
with a sneaker.
I'm pretty sure he trademarked the process.
He trademarked the process?
I think he trademarked the process. I think.
Okay, good.
I'll check that out.
I'm your research team. You got two interns.
Pack it on that.
I just gotta imagine that. The big rental car is very upset that they slept on this one. Because there's a rental car company out there that could have jumped on this a while ago and they've been sleeping. And then Jalen comes in and just swoops.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just always think of things having, because it's something to be mocked for.
Yeah, 2016, Joel Embiid applied for a trademark for the process.
He didn't get it, though, did he?
To be used on the apparel, including sweatpants.
Oh, but he did?
2018, he applied for a trademark for the process for backpacks as well as athletic footwear. So, yeah, so, I mean, it's, you know, if a guy's a nickname and he's popular, I mean, Connor's right. Like, somebody comes along and their nickname is Avis, boom. Or like
Enterprise.
Yeah.
And they're like taglines like, we'll pick you up.
Is that their tagline?
Yeah, because they're a good teammate.
I'm
just spitballing.
Coming in and out of Philly for years on visits, the Enterprise folks down at the Philadelphia International Airport, excellent. We found that to be the go-to. They were great. always had a good cars for us and everything. So, and the one on Lancaster Avenue is good, Coach. We've done that one on Lancaster Avenue. Good folks there.
Yeah, tremendous.
Right there, and I guess that would be Bryn Mawr. Right down there now, down from Roach and O'Brien's.
It's not like Seinfeld where he reserves the car and then they show up and they don't have it.
Oh, no, right? No. They take the reservation and then they hold the reservation, which is the most important part of the reservation.
Anyone could take a reservation.
That they do. Yes, exactly. Willy-nilly.
I've had good luck renting cars lately. Like the last five times, the car that I rented was the one that was there.
Okay, that's really good. That's really
surprising,
really good.
But yeah, it's been good.
Now, this is strange, and it's not going to seem strange to you at all, knowing me, that I do not like the rental car where you rent the car and then they say take any car in the line.
Why not?
And there's like, I just don't. I like sort of having a car picked and getting it, not having like, okay, we've got five cars there, pick one of them, because there's inevitably going to be like the purple Jeep. They're always terrible colors.
So then pick the one you like the best.
The rental car colors. Seems easy. The rental car colors are terrible. I mean, they're absolutely horrible. One question. So taking my wife down this weekend before we go away, taking her down to see Andrea Bocelli down there at the Hard Rock.
Great chef.
Okay, I don't think that's what he is. He's blind.
He was before.
Magician.
He's not a magician either.
I'm going to get there.
He's not an opera singer. He's a singer. But the Hard Rock Stadium in Atlantic City, where you see this, the arena where you see this, is it at the Hard Rock Casino or not? It was strange because I'm looking at it and I'm going, are they the same place? It's very, very, you have any idea?
I'm not sure. I don't
have you seen anything at this venue?
No, I haven't.
I'd imagine it's not.
Pat?
No idea.
Why would you imagine it's not?
Because they had an indoor football team that played there or something. It seems like that would be too much room to put attached to a casino. Like, I'd imagine it's off the main strip a little bit, but I'm not sure.
I'll need to know that from somebody on social media. You can share it with me. Hey, crystal clear lakes, trout-filled streams, wide sandy beaches. Maine's got them all. It's summertime, and the water is calling. Visit Maine.com. This message is sponsored to you by the Maine Office of Tourism. Pat, you'll be glad to know that Thomas is up early this morning, and Thomas says you would absolutely win the amazing race of this show.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. Yeah,
Pat would win the amazing race.
I knew that jackass in the other room, Connor,
I'd win.
You know, because Connor's a guy that, like, you throw any competition out there, and Connor will sit there stupidly and think that he'd have a shot at everything. You won it.
You mean
stop.
Like when he challenged me at golf last week and lost by 9 strokes?
Exactly. Yeah. The time that he said that, you know, he would tackle Brian Westbrook and then chicken doubt. He would D up TJ McConnell.
I gave him the chance to beat a women's D1 basketball player.
Like Brian Dawkins, you gave me the chance. I'm not
Brian Dawkins. Brian Westbrook
was there too.
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't there. Westbrook wasn't there though.
Where
he was last year?
Oh, last year Westbrook was there. This year when we were at the
but he wouldn't run tackle.
Westbrook looked good. Lost some weight.
Manners.
He would run right over your ass.
Exactly. All right. Coming up, this story is finally finished. No one will be happier than Bob Cooney, and I will give my assessment of guilt or innocence. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We have Adam Schefter going to join us here on the Comcast Business Hotline. He's coming up. And we now enter into vacation time. Most of the NFL franchises now sort of shutting it down where they will get people out of the building. So, you know, the coaches go on vacation. They head on out there and take care of business. So we probably do end up into a very much more quiet time. And Adam joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day, so get ready for what's next. Adam, it seems like a lot of the franchises now go into shutdown mode. Mm-hmm. What do these coaches do? Do they really get away? Are some of them still getting into the office, or do people really get away?
No, I think people really get away. I mean, look, these guys go so hard during the season, and once you know the end of July rolls around, they're in there 7 days a week, basically, you know, all hours of the day. And so I mean, I'm sure there are exceptions. There may be some stragglers that stick around and people who maybe aren't married, don't have families, don't have children, whatever it may be, and feel like they, you know, that's where they're most happy. But I think by and large, coaches clear out. They go on vacation. They spend time with their families that they don't get to spend here for the next 4, 5, 6 months. So, no, I think most people are gone.
We are very, very happy that the Eagles did not go the route of Deshaun Watson, and they weren't even really in the mix with it because it doesn't seem like he wanted to be there. How much of a black eye does this situation and the Daniel Snyder now situation that's evolving, how much of a black eye in the league PR-wise do you think that could potentially happen since it's all happening during the quiet time?
Well, I mean, look, these are unique situations, right? But there's always something swirling around the NFL, right? I mean, whatever it is, there's always some sort of contract. This is obviously unique and different, sensitive, all those things like that. But I think the NFL is always used to dealing with something. Now, you know, these two particular situations, there are some parallels, and I think it'll be interesting to see. I know that the discipline and the CBA isn't the same for a player as it is for an owner, but if they go through in the investigation in Washington and uncover certain things and Deshaun's disciplined in a certain way that others aren't, I think there's going to be a lot of people that try to connect dots, make connections, parallels, whatever it may be, right? And so we're going to see how the league handles something like this that obviously is very significant and important.
Shefty, we've seen how the Eagles are handling or have handled OTAs and talking about practice and not using all of their allotted time to get on the field because that's what Nick Sirianni deems best for this team. Is that becoming a trend throughout the league? I don't know practice schedules of all the other teams in the NFL, but do you see more teams taking less time to preserve bodies as opposed to getting out on the field with all of the allotted time that they're allowed?
Well, you know what's interesting about that is that the new CBA cut back on the number of practices and sessions that every team could have. And initially, coaches weren't all that enthralled with that idea. But even as those sessions and practice times were cut back, then teams, I think, have adapted and wound up cutting back more. Like, you see teams at training camp all the time, oh, we're going to cancel this practice, or instead of this practice, we're taking our team on a whitewater rafting trip, you know, bowling, whatever it may be. You know, so I think it goes to show that as much as these coaches love to practice it, that all these sessions may not be as important as everybody's always made them out to be. You know, it's also come so far over time. Like, I remember when I was out in Denver in the early 90s, and I would go to training camp for the summer. Training camp, first of all, would be 3-4 weeks. And it would be two-a-day practices.
Yes.
Multiple days a week. Like, I don't want to say every day because that might be too... Well, they would practice twice a day. I would say 5 days a week.
And then it was two, and then you could... The next day you could go one, and then the next day you could go two again.
Well,
They eased up a little bit.
Yeah, John, I'm just telling you, I remember going to Greeley, Northern Colorado in the early 90s, and it seemed like it was two every day.
It was back then, yes.
It always seemed like, the way I remember it, one was in pads and real heavy hitting, and the other was a little more laid-back practice, but it was every day. That's every day, basically. You know, the players would get a day off, but these guys would clobber each other. And I remember going around my first year at ESPN, which would have been summer of 2009, going around to training camps, and you know, I remember the one training camp that stood out to me that was absolutely the most physical, with the most hitting, was the Philadelphia Eagles under Andy Reid. Those guys were clobbering each other. Now, maybe it was just the day I was there, but wow, they were getting after it. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, it's just, you don't see that in today's day and age. There's a lot more preservation, a lot more mental reps, emphasis on other things in practice. But practices back then, they used to be so physical. These guys would pound each other.
Adam, with the dead period going on, as we talked about with coaches, what do you do?
Obviously, your workload during the season is insane, so I'm sure you like to take a step back. But on a day like this, when there's not a ton of news coming out, what exactly do you do to kind of bide your time?
Well, today I'm actually involved in two charity functions. I'm emceeing two charity functions that I put on the calendar.
Excellent.
Back in the day. So both are in New York City, so I'm headed to the city today to MC two different fundraisers, one from 11 to 1:30, another from 4 to 6:30 today. And so that's an example where you go and do things on a day like this that you ordinarily wouldn't get to do, right? So
do you like doing that? Are you comfortable up there sort of like MCing a thing like that? Because I don't know you enough doing that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely comfortable doing that. I mean, that's not an issue. You know, the whole issue on these things is time always, scheduling.
Sure.
Right? Like, so during the season, if there's ever any time where something like this is possible, it's really hard during the season to take a day to go somewhere to do this, to go to the city. You don't want to be in the middle of a function for two and a half hours, and all of a sudden you missed a text that, you know, somebody got traded,
sure,
somebody got hired, fired, whatever it may be. And so I try to do some of these things, you know, this time of the year. Like during the year, with people and charities, you know, I used to invite some people to ESPN and bring them up there and auction that off, and ESPN doesn't really allow that, and we don't go to ESPN. So what I do these days is I do like a 30-minute fancy football call that we've auctioned off, and so I get a day where literally I call back like 14 different charities that we auctioned off these things for, and I just sit in front of my phone and do that all day. So, I mean, those are some of the things you do, and honestly, it's just nice not to have to do it. My life doesn't change much. Like, honestly, I'll still get calls from people that I know around the league, or I'll work out in the morning and talk to people in the afternoon and hang out with your family, and I haven't played my first round of golf in a year. I'm going to try to do that in the next couple of weeks, maybe get out there 2-3 times. Things like that, just to kind of stay busy.
The one thing I'm looking at with the Eagles, the start of the show today, looking at that Eagles defensive depth chart,
mm-hmm,
and how they have managed to find 4 veteran players to plug into a defense that was 12th in points allowed last year. And then still you then draft Jordan Davis. You've gotten a Kobe Dean. That depth chart looks so much different for Jonathan Gannon. I wonder how much of a different Jonathan Gannon we'll see this year. Will we see one who is a little more creative, a little more aggressive, now that he's been given, I guess, the ingredients to cook the meal, to use a Bill Parcells?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I mean, you know, the more assets a coach is given, the more talent he has, the more he's able to shine. And you know, I don't know that he'll be able to do that much more. Who knows? But certainly the defense should play better with all the talent it has. I think, you know, coaches do what coaches do. It's up to the defense to elevate its performance, and this defense looks like it certainly has the chance to be able to do that. Now we'll see whether the guys can get it done.
Shefty, we had Dick Vermeil in studio yesterday, Hall of Fame coach, obviously.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And just talking to him about his changes from his coaching career when he started with the Eagles, just hard as nails and in the office 24/7, and then lightening up through the years and you know, ultimately winning the Super Bowl. Is there a big difference in coaching from when you first started covering the league to where it is now, in kind of comparison to what Vermeil talked to us about yesterday?
You know, first of all, I remember Gary Smith, the great Gary Smith, the writer.
Oh, yeah. I worked with him.
I'll tell you a funny story about him, but he did a lengthy takeout on Dick Vermeil that ran in Sports Illustrated that I would literally read over and over when I was in college, like just to study. Like, it was incredible. It was so good. And so, you know, I remember Dick Vermeil coming to ESPN, having the chance to meet somebody like that, and they were talking about the burnout factor and mm-hmm. how hard he went. And when you talk about the coaches today, I think the main difference, and I'd be curious to know what the coaches of today would say, is just the technology around them is different. So they're able to do things on the computer and see things video-wise that, you know, back in the day wasn't as easy, like anybody else. I think that's a change. But in terms of how hard these guys go, scaling back the hours, that doesn't happen. I mean, some of the guys try to be smarter about it, and some guys, I mean, there have been some coaches around the league who don't work around the clock like a Dick Vermeil, like some others, But I think coaches are wired basically one way, and that's just to basically pour everything they have into it as much as they can at all hours of the day, anytime they can, to me.
Will you get 99-cent pizza when you're in the city today?
You know,
You've done the 99-cent slice. You've done it. It's great.
Yeah. No. Listen, you know, you'd be hard pressed to go find bad pizza anywhere, whether it's 99 cents or $2.99. Okay,
exactly.
I don't care what it is. Like, I mean, any pizzeria. Like, I did a charity event a few months back, driving back, and I was in an Uber, and I said to the guy, I'm like, hey, just pull over. Next pizzeria, just pull over. I need to eat a slice. I got to get a slice.
Excellent.
You know, and yeah, I mean, that's what you do.
You take care of that today. Good work with the charities today, Adam. And enjoy a little bit of giving back a little bit. That's great.
Well, it's just, you know what it is? It's just, it's a quieter, slower time. But, the
love it.
The life doesn't change much. I mean, it's still the same
stuff. Your phone. Put the phone down. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Shefty.
Adam Schefter putting the phone down there on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.